elaborating on the theme we were discussing yesterday regarding the relative positions of Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. Now, there are many persons who will say there is no relative position between Lord Krishna and Lord Shiva because they're the same. Or they'll even say that there's no relative position between even myself and Lord Shiva because Shivaham, I am Lord Shiva, they will say. However, this is Siddhanta Viruddha. This is against the proper conclusion of Shastra, as is being pointed out, we'll find in Srila Prabhupada's purports in this Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very clearly pointed out that what is the actual position of Lord Shiva? Now, certain persons claim, those who are Shaivas, or those who consider Lord Shiva the Supreme. Shaiva means one who is in relation to, or again to use the word devotee, it's not really devotee, but we could say a votary of Lord Shiva. They are called Shaivas. So, if we say that we as Vaishnavas, we say that Lord Shiva is subordinate to Lord Krishna, so this, they consider this an offense to Lord Shiva. But actually we claim to be better Shaivas than the so-called Shaivas. We are also Shaivas. We are actual Shaivas because we offer all respect to Lord Shiva, but with proper understanding of his position as Kshirang yatha dadivikara vishesh yogat sanjayate yatha pritagasti hetoho yasham bhutamapi tatha samupaiti karya govindamadi purusham tamaham vishan. Lord Shiva's position is that he is non-different from Lord Vishnu in the manner that yogurt is non-different from milk, because yogurt is nothing but milk. If yogurt is only composed of milk, but there is some transformation which affects its quality. Milk and yogurt, although essentially the same, also have very clearly, characteristically different properties. So in the same way, Lord Shiva is non-different from Lord Vishnu, but has characteristically different properties. Specifically, he is associated with this material world, whereas Lord Vishnu never associates himself with this material world. He's not involved with the three modes of material nature in any way, although Lord Shiva is. So Vaishnavas, of course, here in Tamil Nadu, in the past there's been a very severe rivalry between Vaishnavas and Shaivas, even to the point of death. But as far as Gauriya Vaishnavas are concerned, they do not in any way denigrate the position of Lord Shiva, but rather they praise him, but they praise him with proper understanding. Therefore we are better Shaivas. Lord Shiva is not actually pleased when he's called the Supreme. He may accept such adulations from foolish people because he is committed to try to help to uplift them. But he himself knows that he is only a servant of Lord Vishnu. So he is actually more pleased when the Vaishnavas offer him all respect as a servant of Lord Vishnu. Naturally, he feels more satisfied by that. So in this way, the Vaishnavas who offer all respect to Lord Shiva are better Shaivas than those who claim themselves to be Shaiva. Vaishnava is the best Shaiva. smarta also. Because we follow the smriti regulations which are meant for upliftment to Krishna consciousness. Vaishnava is the best Shaiva, Vaishnava is the best Shakta. Shakta means worship of Shakti. It's generally considered to be the worship of Durga. But the Adya Para Shakti, they say, is Durga. She is the original, a higher potency. But that's only in the material world. The real original potency is Radharani. So Vaishnavas, they're the best Shaktas also. Everything. Ganapatya. Vaishnavas are the best Ganapatyas because they recognize Ganapati as the servant of Lord Vishnu. Vaishnavas are true Vaishnavas are Sahajiya, because Sahajiya is generally used in this. This is why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he liked to use the word Prakriti Sahajiya, materialistic Sahajiya. But otherwise, there's nothing wrong with the term Sahajiya intrinsically. Sahajiya. Sahaj means natural. So it's natural to worship Lord Krishna. So Vaishnavas are also Sahajiya. But to worship, artificially claim oneself to be on a level that one is not, that is Prakriti or materialistic Sahajiya. So a Vaishnava is a Sahajiya, but not that. Advaitavadi. A Vaishnava is Advaitavadi also. We reject the Advaitavada of Shankaracharya, but Advaitam Achutivan Adivananta Rubam Adyam Purana Purushangnava Yovanam Cha. We know that Advaita, that means Krishna. He is non-dual. Mayatatamidam Sarvam Jagada Vyakta Murtina. Everything is Krishna in one sense. But the Advaitavada of Vaishnavas, that includes the allowance also for differentiation. But Advaita is not denied. So proper understanding of it, of it, this Kevala Advaita of Shankaracharya, only oneness or only non-duality, that is not the proper understanding. The proper understanding is simultaneous difference and non-difference, inconceivably. Achintya Bheda Bheda. So in this way, Vaishnavas are the best Shaivas. However, this point is here in India almost universally misunderstood. Pretty much everyone is thinking all the gods are the same. They don't have a, naturally, because if everyone thought that Krishna is supreme, then the material world would empty out. Their purpose in being here would not be fulfilled. If people adopted a proper understanding, then they would go back to Godhead. So the prevalent theories are naturally they are Siddhanta Viruddha, against the proper understanding of Shastra, or upper Siddhanta, just like we hear Shaiva Siddhanta. Actually, there's no question of Shaiva Siddhanta or Vaishnav Siddhanta. Siddhanta means that which is correct and perfect. So although the Shaivas, they may have one opinion and someone else may have another opinion, actually Siddhanta is one. And it doesn't need to be, this term Siddhanta doesn't, intrinsically, it doesn't need to be qualified by any other term, just like we say Sadguru. But if a guru is not Sat, then he's not a guru. So what is the need for saying Sadguru? If he's a rascal, then he's not a guru. He must be Sat. But we say this to qualify from all the rascals posing as gurus, which means almost all of them. So, to actually understand what is the position, who is Krishna? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is Lord Shiva? He is the greatest Vaishnava. Who are the Jivas? They are all servants of Krishna. If one can understand this and accept it, not just understand it theoretically, then one can enter into Krishna bhakti. There's controversy that is going on, even maybe in Tamil Nadu, more all over India, this all the gods are the same and worship of Lord Shiva that is going on. There are so many temples of Lord Shiva all over India, famous temples. We have there the Jyotirlingas, and there are five particular corresponding to the different elements. There are various temples in every state of India. Practically, there's Tarakanath in Bengal, and then Vaidyanath in Bihar, and Kashi Vishwanath is in UP, and now the Uttarakhand is a different state, so Kedarnath is there. And then we have Somnath in Gujarat, Triambakeshwar in Maharashtra, and so many Shiva temples here in Tamil Nadu. Sri Sailam, the temple, I don't remember the name of the deity there, in Andhra Pradesh, it's the most prominent temple of Lord Shiva there. Ujjain in Madhya Pradesh, another great center of Shiva worship. But maybe in Tamil Nadu more here probably, it seems, than other places. The cult of Lord Shiva is very strong. There's so many major temples of Lord Shiva here, so many. Ekamreshwar, is that the name? In Kanchi. Then in Chidambaram is Natara, yeah, unusual. It's not Linga, but he's dancing. And then just south of Velo, what's that place? Tiruvannamalai. Madurai, that temple is famous as Meenakshi temple, but actually Sundaresh is also there, Lord Shiva. It's not, husband and wife are both there, although somehow the wife is more famous there. So like that, it's a great place of the worship of Lord Shiva. And in Tamil Nadu, it is practically the only place in India, this sacred land of India, where the worship of the particular son of Lord, the two sons, the worship of Ganapati, one of the sons of Lord Shiva, is widely spread everywhere, all over India. But especially the worship of Subramanyam, Kumar, Murugan, Skanda, mostly known as Murugan here in the Tamil language, that is widely spread here. We don't find in other states where this worship is there. So, when we go to preach Krishna consciousness, we'll find that many people will question, why do you say only Krishna is supreme? We induce even the worshippers of Lord Shiva and Murugan and Shakti. They're all related, these three cults, they're very similar. Worship of Shiva, worship of Shakti, and worship of Murga. Similar means, how can we express? It has the same kind of mood about it. If you go in a Shiva temple or Shakti temple, it's just the same kind of, usually, you can notice, at least Vaishnavas, they can notice the difference going in a Shiva temple and a Vishnu temple. There's the mood is, dare I say it, generally seems to be more tamasic, because after all, Lord Shiva is the overseer of the mode of ignorance. Not that he's in the mode of ignorance, but he oversees that. And people who are attracted to him are influenced by that. So, such people, the worshippers of Shiva, Shakti, and Murugan, we can probably easily get them, you chant Hare Krishna, and they'll probably chant Hare Krishna, thinking Shivoham, I am Shiva, I am Krishna. And all the gods are the same, so yeah, I can also chant Hare Krishna. That is their good fortune, they can chant Hare Krishna. But no one can properly advance in Krishna consciousness unless they understand that all the gods are not the same. The very basis of Krishna consciousness is to understand that Krishna is supreme. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasad Vritya Jare Joiche Nache Tare Toiche Kare Nritya. There is only one supreme controller. He is Krishna. And all others are servants. As he makes them to dance, in that way they dance. So there is some theory being propagated by certain preachers or so-called preachers of so-called Vaishnavism that it's better not to engage in such discussions with people. You just ask everyone to chant Hare Krishna and worship. You can worship all the other gods and you also worship Krishna. And then gradually by chanting and associating with devotees, then they'll come to understand. This is also upper siddhanta. This is not according to Shastra, that we should fail to hear what is the absolute truth. Rather, among the nine processes of devotional service, first comes Shravana. One cannot properly chant unless one properly hears. And hearing has to be repeated. So that we become convinced. No one is going to become convinced of anything about Krishna consciousness unless they repeatedly hear it. Repeated hearing is required. Because we're so dull-headed and stupid. We have to repeatedly, again and again, hear. Yes, Krishna is supreme. And then some day we may finally accept, oh, actually, Krishna is supreme. I am the servant, all others are the servant. Unless we repeatedly hear, then we are certain to remain infected by the contaminations of misconceptions. You may think, well, they'll read it in Prabhupada's books. But unless those who are supposed to be representative of Srila Prabhupada verbally repeat what is in Prabhupada's books, then what happens is that people, others who are coming, think, well, actually, it's not very important. And they themselves won't, and if they repeat, instead of hearing that Krishna is supreme, we have to surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna, please don't sleep in front of the group. Instead of hearing that, if they hear that, well, you just worship all the gods and you worship Krishna also. If they repeatedly hear that, then rather, instead of thinking that, yeah, we should give up the worship of so many different gods and only worship Krishna, Savadhaman Paritta Jama Mekam Sharanam Braja, they'll think that, yes, you can worship all the gods. Because that's what we're hearing all the time. So it's actually in the name of propagating Krishna consciousness, propagating impersonalism, that everything is all the same. This is not the, like I said, it's upper siddhanta, because it's against that which is given by our acharyas. You may say, well, we don't want to get in controversies and fights. Why not? Why don't you want to get in controversy? We want to live a comfortable life. We don't want to take a risk for Krishna. You don't want to fight for Krishna. Ramanuja, we like to read the stories in the book, and that's as far as it goes, how he risked his life to preach that Krishna is supreme. Narottam Das. There's so many. Narottam Das was preaching, only Krishna is supreme. The Shaktas, they wanted to crush him and stop him. There's so many instances. Srinivas Acharya, that king in Vishnupur, was a worshipper of Kali. He didn't compromise. No Vaishnava Acharya ever compromised. Now if we say, well, the Acharyas can do like that, but we should do differently. And what is the meaning of having an Acharya? Acharya means one who teaches by example. And if we follow another example, then we're not a disciple. So it may be a relatively easy path to cheat people by giving them something less than Krishna conscious, but we won't get devotees. Devotees won't come. Devotee means those who are attracted to the understanding of the absolute truth, those who are fed up of the cheating of this material world. Or finished with it. Real devotee means one who recognizes that Krishna consciousness is something different from everything else in this material world. Whereas everything in this material world is meant for cheating. Priti vite jato kata dharma nama chale bhagavata kahe taha paripurna chale. Whatever preaching is going on in the world in the name of religion, it's all except the pure message of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's all simply cheating. That's all. That is the version of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is another who simply spoke the truth and they wanted to kill him. So if one is actually to be a Vaishnava, if one is to take the position of a preacher, one must be ready to speak in such a way that people may be ready to kill him. Not that we insult, but we speak the truth. Unless one is prepared to speak the truth in the most clear, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was explaining, the most clear, direct and unambiguous manner, then one should not accept the praise or the respect of a sadhu or a Vaishnava or a preacher without giving the substance, teaching people the actual fact that Krishna only is supreme. There's the well-known story of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur when he was remaining at Radha Kund for some days. So he heard that one local priest had said, it seemed to be a quite commonly said thing among a certain class of Brahmins, that as a Brijbasi and a Brahmin, I can also give blessings to Raghunath Das Goswami because he's from a lower caste. Das Goswami. He's not from Brahmin. He superficially appeared in a lower caste than those of Brahmins, although he's better than all. You can bring all the Brahmins in the world who are not Vaishnavas, who are not pure Vaishnavas, and all of them together don't. And not all of them together are not fit to be compared to the speck of dust that Raghunath Das Goswami even once placed his feet on. So hearing this information, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in protest, he began fasting. And naturally the whole group with him, his disciples with him, they also fasted. Because if our guru is fasting, then how can we... That was the consideration. So then some other local person intervened and went to that local priest and said that, you see, this great Vaishnava Acharya is visiting here, and because of your brazen comments, he's now fasting in protest. So he was brought there, he came there, and he apologized to Bhaktisthan Sarasvati Thakur, who treated him very respectfully, and then he broke his fast. So then afterwards, one of Bhaktisthan Sarasvati Thakur's leading disciples asked him, why did you take that so seriously? See, he's just so many foolish people are saying so many foolish things. You could have just ignored, he's a fool, you could have just ignored it. Why did you make such a big, I don't know exactly what language he used, as a disciple he would have expressed it in a respectful manner, but he asked, he couldn't understand why. The Bhaktisthana Sarasvati Thakur, he replied that, I have come to Vrindavan in a motor car, which is, in those days, sadhus, they were very strict. They wouldn't go anywhere in a motor car. Motor car was unusual anyway. There were very few. They had to be shipped from England or America. And people are criticizing this, but I'm taking this luxury and this opulence and this position of an acharya. What for? To preach Krishna consciousness. If I was just simply sitting as a babaji doing nothing, just doing my own bhajan, then I could have ignored. But having taken the honor and the respect of an acharya, then it is my duty to uphold the Vaishnava principles, to not allow or not tolerate offensive, wrong ideas to be preached. So all the preachers of Krishna consciousness are, maybe not officially, but they are practically taking the position of an acharya. And at least here in India, people respect. That's why we give the saffron cloth to the, or here in Salem, the yellow cloth. Saffron is almost yellow, actually. Anyway, kasaya is the Sanskrit word. There's no real English word. It's reddish cloth. That is given, traditionally, that is only given to sannyasis. That's not for brahmacharis. What to speak of someone who's just newly initiated and doesn't really know much? What to speak about philosophy, even how to keep their hands clean? But this red cloth is being given only as a facility for preaching Krishna consciousness, because people tend to respect that. So with that respect, one is supposed to preach Krishna consciousness. If one simply accepts the respect, but is not prepared to speak Bhagavad Gita as it is, and then he becomes like so many other sadhus who are doing sadhu business, wearing the cloth of a sadhu and talking. So many sadhus, people respect them. They speak something from Shastra, but ultimately they cheat people. So we should not adopt the profession of cheaters. We should be 100% transparent in our presentation of Krishna consciousness, uncompromising. Now, of course, the Vaishnava principle is also there of humility. So, to speak uncompromisingly doesn't mean that one should be proud, arrogant, overbearing. It may appear like that to materialistic people. But at the same time, one has to cultivate humility. Not the artificial humility of, yes, yes, you are very nice, everything is very nice, everything is good. That is not humility. That is the false humility of this material world, where everyone simply is nice to everyone else so that they can all engage, they can all indulge in the illusion of sense gratification in various ways. That is not humility. Certainly, a Vaishnava should not be arrogant. He should be humble. But in the name of humility, one should not cease to preach the uncompromising truth. So we often think that our duty as Vaishnavas is done if we worship the deity, distribute books, hold festivals, and induce people to chant Hare Krishna. And we'll say, now there are 20 people chanting, now there are 40 people chanting, there are 60 people chanting. They're chanting, but do they understand? Do they actually accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? If you ask, they may say, Amma. Yes, yes, yes. But you have to go deep, because they may go outside and then maybe there's some big Swami comes to town and they go there. And the big Swami will say, we are all God, and they'd also say, Amma. Whatever you say, yes, everything is, oh yes, 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 whatever. Means they're not actually hearing. It's very difficult to get people to hear the actual message of Krishna, because they're not used to hearing anything spiritual. Because they've heard so many spiritual things, and it's this hearing from Mayavadis, it creates a kind of consciousness by which one cannot hear the message of Krishna. It's so contaminating that one cannot actually hear. Well, even someone may sit, and they'll sit through the whole lecture and say it's very nice, and they might even be able to repeat everything that was said in the lecture. But it never entered beyond their ears, or maybe in the brain substance, but it didn't get anywhere near the heart. Because by hearing from Mayavadis, they think that, well, it's prasad outside. Don't bring prasad inside. Tell this girl. Oh, she understood. Yeah. No prasad inside. So people are so much conditioned to thinking that everything is all one and the same, and that anything they hear, they think, well, these people say Krishna is the supreme and they're very strong about it, so that's nice. And other people say that Shiva is the supreme. That's nice. It's all the same. If we can get people to understand it's not all the same, then we're making some progress. So we shouldn't measure progress simply, we got so many people chanting and we got initiated so many people. But we have initiation means to accept a guru. Guru means one has to hear from guru. Not simply that guru pouring some water on his feet and that's it. Offer puja, put some water on the feet, and that's it. That may be there, but the main thing one has to hear, and guru has to speak, what is the absolute truth. And disciple has to hear repeatedly, Then you can begin to understand. So is we shall see not only how we're worshipping the deities, we're having festivals, we're bringing people, we're distributing books. We'll also see how much we're fighting against these Mayavadis and demons and rascals who are preaching the opposite of Bhagavad Gita as it is. And there will be some controversy, and some people won't like it. Amazingly, some of our old members of ISKCON, they don't like that there should be some controversy. But this is what preaching means. There must be controversy. If we're actually preaching Bhagavad Gita as it is, then there must be opposition, because people won't like it, because namang duskrutino murha prapadyante naratama maya paritagyana asurangvaravasha. Because the world is full of people who are inimical to Krishna. So if we go and tell them, yes, yes, you do whatever you like and you just chant Hare Krishna, oh, okay, maybe I'll chant Hare Krishna. But if we speak that, when we see people becoming disturbed, then we know, yes, we're making some progress. Now that disturbance shouldn't be because of our bad behavior, not that we think, oh, now we have to disturb people, okay, go and smash all their windows. Not like that. Go and insult them. No. But just, if we just speak the truth as it is, actually many people will be prepared to accept. Gradually, at least. Then their lives can change, then they can become purified, then they can actually become devotees. But some people may object. Then we should meet them. We should speak with them on the basis of Shastra. Defeat them, because this philosophy is perfect, because it's the absolute truth. But if we don't speak the absolute truth, then that means we ourselves don't have faith in it. And then how will others have faith in it? So we'll simply create a whole society of Prakrita Bhaktas, or Kanishta Adhikaris, materialistic devotees, who have no real faith in Krishna. We'll always fight among each other. They don't know what is Krishna consciousness actually. So there is some scope for its philosophy, yes, and by personal dealings also. We can bring Krishna people to, we can induce people to take to Krishna consciousness. Just like you were telling me, one devotee was saying he went to someone's house and he had so many ignis there and they became pleased. And then they started chanting more or something like that. So that's all right, but if the whole of our preaching is simply eating ignis, then that's not preaching. By sentiment, if people take to Krishna consciousness somehow, that's good. But then you have to, now then you have to train them and teach them that I'm not simply an idli eater, but I have something else to do with my mouth also, which is to speak Bhagavad Gita as it is. Now you have to be prepared to hear that. Otherwise, we don't want your idlis. We don't need your idlis. We don't need your cheap appreciation. So there's the... Anyway, it's getting a little late now as far as I'm listening. I can speak on these topics more, but maybe tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this? No. All right, so we'll finish there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.